You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Thursday, the 11th of February, 2021, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming live today at radioalbion.com because we have with us geopolitical analyst Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson from rustjournal.org. Matt, good day, sir. How are you doing?
You know, it's days like this where going to get a cabin in the woods doesn't sound like the worst fate that someone could have. And some of our people may just do that. Things get worse and worse for us.
Well, you certainly have to have a big fireplace in the cabin in the woods at the moment. It's minus 20 degrees centigrade up in Scotland. It's freezing here in Britain at the moment. What's the weather like where you are then, Matt? It must be slightly warmer, I'm guessing, if you want to be in a log cabin.
It's below freezing, but not too bad. Got a little bit of snow here. This is one of my favorite times of year. I definitely recommend it for all of us who want to get away once in a while.
Well, we all have to get away once in a while, don't we? And it seems like Trump is getting away from it all at the moment. We haven't really heard much from him, although we have got this impeachment trial that's going on. But what we want to really talk about today, it sort of has something to do with that. It basically is an exposure and a confirmation of everything that Trump was alleging about the election. Only because it hasn't actually come from Donald Trump, it's come from Time magazine, nobody seems to have called for them to be censored or attacked them or anything else. It's just incredible, really. It's like Time magazine are rubbing everybody's noses in it. Everybody that actually voted for Trump, which was at least half of the American population, who all think that the election was stolen. Time magazine have now come out and said, effectively, yes, it was stolen, but in a good way. We were saving democracy by doing this. They've actually exposed exactly what was going on. They've even admitted that it was a conspiracy. And of course, a conspiracy is a criminal offence. So what we've got this Time magazine article here. We're not going to go through all of it because it's far too long, but we have a selection of it that we're going to look at. It begins, it says, Trump said on December the 2nd, within days after the election, we witnessed an orchestrated effort to anoint the winner, even while many key states were still being counted. In a way, Trump was right. Well, not just in a way, he was right. They did anoint Joe Biden before the votes had all been counted. And by doing that, I mean, it meant that if the votes had come out in any other way, the people counting it wouldn't have wanted to say, because it would have led to a riot on the streets. So this is what Trump was pointing to here. And it continues. It says there was a conspiracy unfolding behind the scenes, one that both curtailed the protests and coordinated the resistance from CEOs. Both surprises were the result of an informal alliance between left-wing activists and business titans. The pact was formalized in a terse little notice joint statement of the US Chamber of Commerce and AFL-CIO published on Election Day. Both sides would come to see it as a sort of implicit bargain, inspired by the summer's massive, sometimes destructive, racial justice protests, in which the forces of labor came together with the forces of capital to keep the peace and oppose Trump's assault on democracy. So they've admitted there was a conspiracy going on there. Conspiracies are criminal. It's a conspiracy to defraud people. And what they're referring to here is an alliance between anarchists and the corporations, which is, of course, the subject of just about every podcast you make. Matt, what are your thoughts on this? Come on, tell us.
Oh, my God. I mean, this is the fact that they use the word conspiracy here. This suggests that they are so comfortable in their position of power, that we're so impotent at this point politically, that they can do this, fully admit everything that we're talking about. If I had put this on when I used to have a Facebook account, if I put this stuff on Facebook, I would be censored. This is something I didn't expect. I'm still wrestling with the idea of why they're doing this. Actually using terms, it's almost as if they're trying to provoke something. My view as it stands right now is that this is a rubbing your nose in it moment. This is exactly what we're doing. And what are you going to do about it? And you notice there's not a single reference in this article. There's no, they don't reference an article or a journal or any evidence whatsoever. You have to take this Molly Ball's word for it. I've read enough old Pravda articles from the 70s and 80s. That's exactly how those were written, in the same very condescending, manipulative way. And it centers around, as I've been saying my whole career, around redefining terms. There's an exoteric and an esoteric definition of things. Democracy is the big one. But the fact that she uses words like conspiracy, talking about, you know, the connection of the left and capital, which I've been talking about for 30 years, you know, this is, you know, and you get called a conspiracy theorist again, all you have to do is say, well, they've admitted it. The flagship liberal publication. This is, when I first read this, it was just absolutely overwhelming. I did not see this coming. And fully admitting that what we've been criticizing, what we've been talking about, what Trump's been talking about, not just in the election, but in everything like that, is absolutely correct. The fact that she referred to the racial justice protests as sometimes destructive by itself is interesting. So this is something absolutely extraordinary.
It's the revelation of the method, isn't it? Once they feel that they're in a powerful enough position, they feel that they're powerful enough to just tell everybody what they've done, and nobody can do anything about it because they control all the forces of law and order. And the reason I would suggest why there aren't any sources there is in case people use these sources in court cases. So it's all just hearsay, but it's really confirming everything that we've been saying. Continuing. The handshake between business and labor was just one component of a vast cross-partisan campaign to protect the election, an extraordinary shadow effort dedicated to not only winning the vote, but to ensuring it would be free and fair, credible and uncorrupted. For more than a year, a loosely organized coalition of operatives scrambled to shore up America's institutions, as they came under simultaneous attack from a remorseless pandemic and an autocratically inclined president. Though much of this activity took place on the left, it was separate from the Biden campaign and crossed ideological lines, with crucial contributions by nonpartisan and conservative actors. The scenario the shadow campaigners were desperate to stop was not a Trump victory. It was an election so calamitous that no result could be discerned at all, a failure of the central act of democratic self-governance that has been a hallmark of America since its founding. The two things I want to point out here is where they talk about this non-partisan support. It's the deep state, isn't it? It's all the Republicans that also wanted to have more of the same that has always gone on before. And the way that they say that, we weren't trying to stop Trump winning. No, we were just trying to make certain that it wasn't a close call. And what they're implying by that is it was going to be a close call. And so they did everything they could to make certain that the character that they wanted to win the election, Joe Biden, to make sure that he won, which, of course, we know has been done by false means, criminal means. Matt, what are your thoughts on this bit?
Well, one of my central concerns with this article is the use of the word democracy. It's used at least once in every paragraph. And it's used over and over again, I think on purpose. Normally, when you consider democracy, you think of it as a procedure. You have to have certain freedom of speech, being able to vote once in a while, politicians being answerable to the public, that kind of thing. But that is not how they're using it. In fact, they go back and forth with definitions. When they say democracy, they're talking about leftist liberalism. They're talking about a substantial ideological statement, not procedures. No one's going to care about procedures unless they think it's going to benefit them. the fact that they don't even, again, as always, this article doesn't even discuss the charges against the election, the mountains of evidence of fraud, of the numbers that don't add up, of the threats, of the media attacks. Even they use another word, disinformation, is one of my favorites. It's simply something that they disagree with. You'll see over and over again in this article that Molly Ball talks about secret organizations. She uses the phrase different think tanks and elite funded organizations. You know, it's and they're fully admitting this. Revelation of the Method, which I learned from Michael Hoffman, as you already mentioned, is a risky business. But they have to they're in a position where if they say it, they come out and admit it, and nothing happens, that means their domination is complete. And that's at least, you know, in the medium term, it's complete. And that's why the revelation of the method is so important to the regime.
Well, it reminds me of when we get accused of anti-Semitism for what we talk about, and then the Jews will talk about exactly the same thing in their Jewish media, and they don't get accused of anti-Semitism. And what we have here is we talk about this and, oh no, that's disinformation. When the left talk about it and they praise it, oh, there's nothing wrong with that. And this bit here where they talk about the failure of the central act of democratic self-governance has been a hallmark of America since its founding. Well, they are the ones that stopped democratic self-governance. Half of America voted to put Donald Trump in office on a campaign that was stopping Muslims, stopping immigration and building a wall. And that was democratic. Over half the people in America voted for those policies. And they stood in his way with all their institutions and all their control of the lawyers and all the rest of it. There's a lot of projection here as well. It continues, their work touched every aspect of the election. They got states to change voting systems and laws and helped secure hundreds of millions in public and private funding. They fended off voter suppression lawsuits, recruited armies of poll workers and got millions of people to vote by mail for the first time. They successfully pressured social media companies to take a harder line against disinformation and using data-driven strategies to fight viral smears. They admit here they literally changed laws without the permission of the legislature. And they changed the system illegally. And there's still been nothing done about that. They secured hundreds of millions to fund a campaign for Biden. And they got, they say, millions of people to vote by mail for the first time. Yeah, because they were actually dead people, people that voted and had no right to vote, people that were using other people's names. That's another thing that's been discovered. Matt, what do you make of all these admissions here of what they've done?
Well, and this is what I didn't expect. It's one thing to refuse to defend the election. It's another thing to fully admit that our charges are absolutely true. One of my favorite lines in this article, which she says near the end, is that this is an attempt to rig the election. It's to fortify the election. So you want to talk about the manipulation of language. And of course, what they mean is strengthening. But when you understand that by democracy, they're talking about liberal ideology, you know, liberal, progressive, this kind of thing, that, you know, that's not the language now. But you notice in the paragraph before, she's talking about democracy as purely a substantive – I'm sorry, a non-substantive, just procedural idea. But that's the only time she mentions it that way. She means something is anti-democratic because it promotes something that liberals disagree with. That's the definition of the term. They go back and forth with these definitions, creating a tremendous amount of confusion. But you have to be, from a psychological point of view, you have to be a sociopath to be able to say something like this. Because if you're not a sociopath, you're going to then suffer with cognitive dissonance, which will drive you crazy. The fact that this doesn't drive them crazy suggests that their thought process doesn't function the same way a normal person does. They're fully admitting that the things that would get us censured were absolutely true. And that is democratic. Without apparently becoming neurotic disasters, suggests that there's more to the situation here than any kind of real disagreement. There's a complete break in cognition that these people have that, thank God, we don't suffer with.
A complete disconnection from reality. It continues. they executed a national public awareness campaign that helped Americans understand how the vote count would unfold over days or weeks, preventing Trump's conspiracy theories and false claims of victory from getting more traction. So basically they predicted exactly what was going to happen, and they gaslit everyone to ensure that it did happen the way that they wanted it to. After Election Day, they monitored every pressure point to ensure that Trump could not overturn the result. The untold story of the election is the thousands of people of both parties who accomplished the triumph of American democracy at its very foundation, says Norm Eisen, a prominent lawyer and former Obama administration official who recruited Republicans and Democrats to the board of the so-called Voter Protection Program. So what they're doing here is they're singing the praises of Republican traitors that went along with this, because they know that the Republicans and the Democrats, up until when Trump took over, were pretty much both the same thing. I mean, to say that they mounted this national public awareness campaign to help Americans understand how the vote count was going to unfold, I mean, that was all these attacks on Trump, saying you're never going to leave the White House, are you? You're going to hold on to power, aren't you? And all these gaslighting methods that they used before the actual election. That's what they're talking about there. Matt, what are your thoughts on this?
Now, let's be clear. The concept of gaslighting, among other things, is to deny an obvious truth, you know, something that just happened, and try to substitute your own version for the sake of confusing, getting people to doubt themselves, getting people to breaking their morale. That's the concept here. And using just enough truth to make it vaguely plausible, but have the entire message be untrue. They're being confronted with something they know they did. They're well aware that this election was stolen. They're admitting it, that it was a conspiracy, that it was an elite-funded movement. And, of course, we're going to say that to them. But rather than deal with it or even try to defend it, they need to then counter by coming after us, blaming, shaming, all these tactics. These are psychological tactics. And I'm telling you, these days especially, all of our people who, you know, all of our activists, everything like that, have to have at least some basic knowledge of psychology and how this mentality works. It's not just a matter of principles. I don't think it ever really was. It's a matter of basic cognition. Logic itself is under attack. She uses the word conspiracy, fully admitting that's what this is, and then a couple paragraphs later, condemning Trump's conspiracy theories, which said the exact same thing. Again, you have to have a certain type of mind to be able to do that and not, you know, and get away with it. But that's the nature of journalism today anyway.
I think also what she's doing there, she's trying to run cover for this so that historians in the future, when they look back, they will look at this and they say, oh, well, this is what happened. And it's got some similarities to what the Trump supporters were saying. So, but this is actually the truth, and nothing untoward went on. And of course, all the evidence will have been removed from the internet by that time as well. It continues, for Trump and his allies were running their own campaign to spoil the election. The president spent months insisting that mail ballots were a Democratic plot and the election would be rigged. The democracy campaigners watched with alarm. Every week we felt like we were in a struggle to pull off this election without the country going through a really dangerous moment of unraveling, says former GOP representative Zach Womp, a Trump supporter who helped coordinate a bipartisan election protection council. So we've got a traitor there, and Trump was producing all this evidence showing that mail ballots would be rigged. I mean, that's always been known that mail ballots are rigged. So their campaign against that was to silence all of that and say that it was disinformation and pretend that it didn't actually exist. It did exist. You could look it up on Wikipedia. People were putting up all these links to times when this had been tried before, and it had always been stopped because there was just too much chance of fraud that was actually going on. Do you know anything about this Zach Womp, this Trump supporter, or you got any other comments on this bit, Matt?
Well, as far as Womp is concerned, I kind of forgot that he was mentioned in here. I have no idea what kind of a Trump supporter he is. But for a lot of these guys, they see what's happening to Trump now, the life that he's had to lead for the last 4 years. The rest of his life is going to be – he's going to be fighting off lawsuits for the rest of his life. Now, for someone with Trump's personality, that's something he could handle. But the average person, The average decent person can't. And these people are being cut deals. We'll let you function. We'll let you have a committee seat. We'll let you do, you know, we'll let you alone so long as you at least in some sense follow us. Not everyone can handle the intense pressure that Trump's being put under. This is completely unprecedented. So I don't think it's that difficult to go to guys like him and say you're going to be treated the same way unless you do X, Y, and Z. Anyone who thinks that Biden got more than 20% of the vote is out of his mind. It's absolutely absurd. And again, speaking of revelation of the method, I've said many times that picking Biden was another way to rub our nose in it. He's one of the least popular Democrats out there, despite his connection with Obama. He was always considered a conservative Democrat, especially in the 90s, big hawk in foreign policy, that kind of thing. He was about the last person that your typical Democrat on the street wanted to deal with. And to mention one more thing, is that the idea that these anarchist groups in the streets were being funded by these very same elites. That's something that was always very difficult to kind of get a handle on because they're expert at hiding sources of income, institutions giving money to each other so as to hide the chain of custody here. And that's another point that I kind of missed the first time I read this thing, is that the fact that you have these groups in the street that have to have a centralized leadership that takes care of their transportation and everything else, and that money comes from these very same, by their own definition, secretive organizations. So that's another indirect admission here that's very, very important.
Well, they're admitting it, aren't they? You know, the money's going from the heads of the CEOs of the corporations, and it's going straight to the anarchists in order to riot and cause trouble and put pressure on people that's going to happen if you don't all vote for Biden. This is the inside story of the conspiracy to save the 2020 election based on access to the group's inner workings, never before seen documents and interviews with dozens of those involved from across the political spectrum. Every attempt to interfere with the proper outcome of the election was defeated, says Ian Bassin, co-founder of Protect Democracy, a nonpartisan rule of law advocacy group. You know, like you say, Matt, I mean, every time you see that word, democracy, whether they use it in Protect Democracy, you know that is a liberal left-wing group there. That is not some nonpartisan group that is trying to protect the legality of the vote. That is about promoting left-wing ideas. And where he says here, every attempt to interfere with the proper outcome of the election was defeated. What about the legal outcome of the election? What about the lawful outcome of the election? They're not interested in that. What they mean by the proper outcome of the election, what they mean by that is Trump being defeated. That's what they mean by the proper outcome of the election, and that's what they mean by democracy being saved. It means that the one guy that did actually have some empathy with the American people, they had to get him out. That's what this is all about. I mean, in some parts of it, like here, I think you do have to actually read between the lines. What do you think of the wording here, the proper outcome of the election, Matt?
Yeah, that occurred to me too. Proper is a qualitative measure. It's not who has the most votes. It's who's supposed to be there. And she's very careful about the words that she uses, because now this is the second time that she's used the word conspiracy. And that these groups are secretive. Terms like nonpartisan. Well, there's no, you know, why would you even be involved in politics if you were nonpartisan? Everyone's involved for a specific reason. There's an agenda that they're promoting. Nonpartisan is just another word for left moderate to liberals. I've looked up some of these groups. I've looked up their who's funding them. They're entirely leftist. Nonpartisan means, well, they're not obviously part of the Democratic Party. And then rule of law. Well, not only that begs the question, what law are they talking about? Americans are now used to a situation where the chief executives and governors especially dictate from the state house. Legislatures seem irrelevant, and COVID has been very convenient in that respect. People are now used to this. We're coming up on a year where governors simply do what they're told. I mean, or do what their masters tell them. But, they rule directly. This is extremely unprecedented. So here, just in this one paragraph, you have three or four specific gaslighting techniques using words that the reader considers in one way, but in fact, the substantial argument is something very different. So nonpartisan, rule of law, even advocacy, a democracy, which is again, over and over again, across the political spectrum, you know, well, not quite, conspiracy to save the 2020 election. That's like the word fortify again. So they're talking about a very specific outcome, an outcome that put a man who couldn't put a sentence together in this campaign, who refused to speak very much, who didn't know where he was most of the time. This is the man that they conspired to put in office.
He has no character at all, does he? You say that you think he probably won about quarter of the vote, 20% of the vote. Well, that's how many followers he had on Twitter. I keep mentioning this, but it is such an obvious bit of evidence here. He had 20 million followers on Twitter. Donald Trump had 88 million followers on Twitter. So how could Biden win the election? Nobody watches his videos. He gets downvoted. They've had to switch the voting off on YouTube because all his videos get downvoted. They say the first task was overhauling America's bulky election infrastructure in the middle of a pandemic. They needed to pay for postcards, letting people know they could vote absentee, or in some states, to mail ballots to every voter. Of course, they mean they're every single voter, every single house, just mail out millions and millions of ballots so that anybody could fill in 10 ballots, 20 ballots, 30 ballots at a time if they want. And then they say they needed additional staff and scanners to process the ballots. Of course, they needed loads of additional stuff because of all of these fake ballots. I mean, it's incredible, isn't it? In some states, you could vote absentee, and in other states, they just mailed out millions of ballots. And that's because they changed the laws. So they're admitting what Trump has been making allegations about here, aren't they, Matt?
Yeah, a few paragraphs up, she actually used the phrase changing voting systems. Now, that could be taken in a lot of different ways. That could be how people think about them. That could be how they're institutionalized. But also can be the actual voting machine itself, the system. You know, Democrats have condemned Dominion in certain elections in the past for being unreliable. I know in the Philippines, they threw out an election at the local level because they were using Dominion. This is a disastrous, overtly leftist corporation. So when she uses the word systems, I think she means that. So now when you read these people, you have to be very careful how they're using words, how many different layers of meaning are they a dumping here for the sake of creating confusion. This has been going on for a long time, but now it's, again, they're rubbing our nose in it. You know, in Pennsylvania alone, you know, they put out, I think, 1.2 million absentee ballots. They got 2.5 million back. I've received, in my home, I received at least two. It's so blatantly fraudulent. And these people define election suppression or voter suppression as something like needing ID when you go to vote. That's considered vote suppression. And yet when the media called a few states, especially in the West, for Biden with 5% reporting, therefore hoping everyone will stay home, Republicans will stay home, there's no point, that isn't. So, you know, using these objective, universal-type words, knowing full well they don't mean that, is one of the worst kinds of manipulation. It's the very definition of gaslighting at this point.
I should imagine everybody received at least two ballots, and they'll give the excuse of that to say, oh, well, we had to make sure everybody got at least one, so we made certain that they got two or three. And then we did away with the need for ID, so we couldn't check that it was only one man, one vote. Next, we get onto social media. In November 2019, Mark Zuckerberg invited 9 civil rights leaders to dinner at his home, where they warned him about the danger of the election-related falsehoods that were already spreading unchecked. So basically, it's admitting here they had 9 leftists went to dinner at Zuckerberg's home. So he's obviously friendly with all these leftists. And they told him, we don't want anything that is pro-Trump on Facebook. And Zuckerberg went with that. And his way of doing that was to say that it was calling the election into question, and that all had to be banned because it was dangerous, because it would lead to violence. I mean, just about everything they don't want people to hear, they now claim is going to lead to violence. And finally, it says, it was crucial for voters to understand that despite what Trump was saying, mail-in votes weren't susceptible to fraud, and that it would be normal if some states weren't finished counting votes on election night. So what they're saying there is all the evidence that mail-in votes are susceptible to fraud, all the news stories from the past, I don't know, 30, 40, 50 years, they all have to be suppressed. And anybody who puts a link to them on Facebook or Twitter, they have to be censored and kicked off the social media site. And it really is admitting everything. And this article then goes on, there's reams and reams of it, too much for us to actually go through today. But Matt, what are your final thoughts on what's been said here?
In a certain way, this is good for us, because whenever we're questioned about these things, not just this particular issue, but others in the future, you simply respond and say, no, they've admitted these are conspiracies. They've admitted that capitalism is leftist. They've admitted that, you know, so there's no, that whole conspiracy theory charge and everything that goes along with it now is going to fall flat. Anyone who has any, you know, political interest has read this or at least heard about this story. So that whole attack from their point of view now has been completely negated. And again, I'll say we need to understand the very basics of psychology to begin arguing with these people, even just dealing with them, because they don't think the same. It's not just they have different opinions. Their thought process is very different. And if we know just the basics of, you know, abnormal psychology, we can make more sense out of what they do.
Well, I guess it's a good conspiracy when they're bragging about it, and it's a bad conspiracy. It's a conspiracy theory when we talk about it. It's just a theory when they talk about it. They think that they should be given awards for it. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Matt. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with Grandpa Dan. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.